Hey moms, welcome back to Maintaining the Meat and Marriage and Motherhood. I'm Lashana, and I know everyone is getting ready for Memorial Day weekend. Hopefully you don't have to work. If you don't have to work, hopefully you're getting together with friends or family or taking a nice long weekend to sleep and rest, which I much desire to get a weekend to just sleep the entire weekend. But I won't be able to sleep this weekend because we actually have plans. But anywho, I know that it's end of the school year for pretty much everyone, unless they're like on a year-round schedule. But if they're on an early August or end of August schedule, they are probably getting out of school this week or in the next couple of weeks. So it is graduation season, prom season, all that good stuff is going on right now. So parents are spending a lot of cash right now, getting ready for the summertime, making their summer plans, getting kids out of school. It's like, for me, summer is like bittersweet because it's like, yes, I don't have to get up early in the morning to take the kids to school and be on a schedule and making sure homework is done and, on that round the clock, boom, boom, boom. But then on the other hand, it's like, okay, well, they're going to be going to summer camp, so that's, I mean, it's a little bit of a break because they don't go every day. So a couple days a week they go, but the days that they're at home, they're eating outside of house and home, and they're, I'm bored. What are we gonna do? Looking for constant entertainment. So I gotta look for, the summer schedule, get the summer schedule together. And I'm sure that's what most moms are doing right now. So little recap from last week. I don't know if you guys had a chance to listen to last week's podcast, Wives Supporting Wives. I mean, the basis of it was really just, for people to practice kindness and give people room to speak their mind and to say their truth so that we can get the information that we need so that we can all just get along. And it brings me to my topic this week. And this is a topic that I've been wanting to talk to everyone about for a really long time, but I hadn't gotten the chance to do it because, the one thing that's really hard about having a podcast that deals with like family and marriage and motherhood and all this, it can be really sensitive to the people that are in your family and your circle because, you don't want to make anyone else feel uncomfortable because when you're sharing your truth, it involves other people because whenever you're talking about relationships, it's you and another person. So you want to make sure that the other person, is feeling comfortable with that or, that they don't feel triggered in any kind of way, especially if it's like someone that's close to you. So that's been a challenge, just thinking of different topics that I do want to touch on and just making sure that the people that are involved are aware and that, that they know that I'm just trying to help people and that, I'm trying to tell my story and that it just happens to involve them. And it's really from my perspective. So it's not like to hurt people's feelings or, just be rude or whatever. So, but this week I did want to talk about mental health, more into mental health, like suicide and depression and how depression can lead to suicide and some of the signs. And I don't know if you got a chance to look at my Instagram. I recently just changed. I just changed it today, actually, from Modern Mommy 2 to Modern Mommy Mogul. So it's still modern, still mommy spelled the same way, Mommie, and then mogul, Mogul. So I'm making some changes and trying to get my website together and everything, and branding and all these different things. So it just came time for me to switch over the Instagram name just so that I can get everything kind of cohesive. So I was happy that it was still available because I had been planning to change it and I had a couple of different names in mind. And so that one was still available. So I went ahead and snagged it today. But anyway, let me get back to the topic. So I don't know if you had a chance to look at my Instagram, but I did post my son had did a podcast. My oldest son, he's 21, he did a podcast on a veterans podcast. And basically, he was telling his story of his experience in the military. So I've talked to you guys about it before, about him being a Marine, and he was a Marine. He just was recently honorably discharged. And so he has a very interesting story about the military, him going in and, his different issues that he ran into and different obstacles and barriers and things like that that he went through. And so he has a very detailed interview where he talks about, you know, the behind the scenes of some of the things that were going on in the military and why he left the military a year, like a year and a half early, like a year early. So definitely, if you get a chance to listen to it, it's really, really good. I'm really, really proud of him. It took a long time for him to be able to really talk about it. And FYI, it was really the first time that me and my husband, because we both listened to it, that we even knew what happened while he was in there. Like, we knew, like, towards the end of last year that he was having some challenges, and, you know, that, and I knew, like, for the past, I would say, year that initially, like, the last 6 months that he was in the military, I can definitely say that I noticed a change in him. And just talking to him and how his mood was like slowly changing. But we didn't know like details of what was going on with him the whole time that he was in the military. So it will be good to listen to his interview. And then he talked about just like because of his differences. So he is bisexual. And this was nothing new. We definitely knew that. He talked about it a little bit in the interview too. We knew about that. He came out on Facebook probably like 2 or 3 years ago, which makes a lot of sense because we already knew about it, but he had made a Facebook post and like to expose and tell everyone on Facebook that was following him. He like made an announcement. And so we had already known about it. And I figured something had must have happened. And I had asked him, like, oh, what made you put that post up? Because how I found out about the post, I'm not on Facebook, not like my personal page anymore. I haven't been on Facebook in years, probably like 5 years. And my uncle called me and he's like, oh, and he was like blowing me up. Oh, I need to talk to you. I was at work. And he's like, I need to talk to you. And I don't even talk to my uncle that often. So he was calling me like back to back to back. So I saw I had a bunch of missed calls and he sent me a text. He's like, oh, I got some very disturbing news about your son. And I really like it wasn't his nephew. About your son, and I really want to talk to you. I need to talk to you. It's really, you know, it's important. It's urgent. And so, first of all, my son had just went to the military. Okay, so getting an urgent call back from anyone regarding my son was already had me like in a panic. So I call him back. I'm like, what's going on? He's like, you know, I was on Facebook and, you know, he said that he was bisexual and this and that. And what is that about? And, you know, I was so disturbed. And I was just like, okay, like you're being a little dramatic. Like, okay, it may be a surprise to you. It is not a surprise to me. You know, I understand that, you know, you may have a difference of opinion, whatever. This can't be an intervention. Like, there's nothing to intervene in. We already know. If you would like to talk to him, you know, you're already Facebook friends. You can shoot him a message. Good luck. You know, if you're trying to convert him or I don't know what his plans were, but he was just kind of in a panic. And I knew then I was just like, okay, I already knew that that was coming. And, you know, the more people know, the more questions they have or concern and, you know, and things like that. And totally is understandable. But I felt like the way that he was approaching it, I said, okay, I can see it going left with my son because even the way that he was talking to me was like, you know, you got to do something about it. Like, you know, what are you going to do? And oh my God, I can't believe he was on Facebook and I can't believe, you know. And I was like, you know what? I said, well, at the end of the day, he's an adult. And I said, and I do think that that is like the least important thing that we can talk about when we're talking about him because he has so many other qualities and things about him that make him an excellent person. So I don't want to focus on what you feel is like the negative or, you know, just be understanding and just think about the fact that he's only, as I think at that time, he was like 19. I'm like, he's 19 years old. He's in the Marines. Like, you know, he's going through a lot. You know, he probably was triggered in some kind of way to make him do that. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's your nephew, your great nephew. You love him. And that's really all that matters. Like, I would just like not make it such a big deal. You know, it's just really not that big a deal. Just relax. So that's how I ended up finding out that he had put it on Facebook. So I had reached out to him and I'm like, hey, what's going on? And he's like, nothing. I just, I'm always posting and I just posted that. He didn't go into detail about anything. He was just like, I'm just tired of people always wanting to point the finger. And, there's so many people that are afraid to speak out and defend themselves. And he was like, and I just feel like, I wanted to defend myself and I wanted to speak out. And for people that are afraid to come out or they don't have support or whatever to just be themselves, and there's so much suicide going on and different things, and I feel like people just need to be able to be honest, whatever. So I was like, okay, and no big deal. So listen to his very, very sad story of what he went through in the military. I could trace it back to when he put that Facebook post up, because I feel like he was almost, it was almost like a cry for help or like an acknowledgement at that point. So I did want to talk to moms and parents of your, if the dads are listening too, to just, when you're dealing with your children, first of all, parenthood, motherhood, you're only as old as your oldest child, So for me, I'm 21 years old in motherhood. And when you have a child, when you have a baby, you don't know how your child is going to evolve, who they're going to be, what religion they may want to take on, what profession they want to may want to take on, if they want to be entrepreneur. There's so many different avenues. I feel that as parents, it's our job to guide them and keep them from harm. Clothe and feed them, teach them values and bring them up the way that you would want to bring them. But at some point, there has to be some understanding that your children are just not going to do everything that you want them to do. That's just it, and that's just all. And that comes with if they're a part of the LGBTQ community, if they're not taking going to college or even just going to the military. If it's something that is above or for which you may think beneath or whatever, that's not in your view of what is best for them. I just really strongly encourage parents to teach your kids more than anything to be accepting of themselves. Teach your kids to not chase love. So if someone doesn't agree with them or doesn't, like them or doesn't show them love or respect, that they're not constantly trying to appease that person or trying to get them to like them, trying, wasting energy trying to get people to love them, chasing even relatives, parents, if they have a dad that's absent or a mom that's absent or they're not getting along, don't chase love. Teach them not to chase love. Teach them, kindness, to be kind to people, even if they're different or if they have different viewpoints, that you can agree to disagree. All those different things, because when we first found out, I mean, there was always kind of a little inkling. We didn't really know for a fact. He says that it was when he was in eighth grade that he figured that out. We had the conversation when he was like, I think it was like the end of his 11th grade year, and he was talking to us about it, and he told us. And I mean, I wasn't surprised or shocked or anything, but I was just, I just felt like, why? Where is this coming from? What did I do? And I immediately thought about for my about myself, because I was just like, oh God, what are people gonna think about me as a mother? What are they gonna think that I raised him to be this way? And a lot of times things happen in your life where you'll be in situations that you never thought you would be in, for one, and that you may have judged pretty harshly before. Because I always assumed when people had kids that were from the LGBT community that they kind of raised them, not to raise them to be that way, but they were very open to it. So it was like they allowed them to watch movies or whatever, like. I mean, I didn't think too much about it, but I definitely didn't think that, I definitely put blame more on parents for the way that their kids turned out. And that was like overall. Like if your kid ended up being on drugs, if your kid ended up, it was like, okay, well, where are the parents? That's like the first thing that you think. So that was like the first thing that I was thinking was, oh my God, what are people gonna think that I'm, how am I raising my kids? And the other ones were still really little. So I was just like, okay, what am I doing wrong? You know, where did I go wrong with him? You know, he already had challenges just from him not, you know, from his dad passing away at a young age. I'm like, well, maybe I should have gotten him therapy, or maybe I should, you know. So all of these things I was thinking in my head, all of them had everything to do with me, and none of them really had anything to do with him. It was all about me at that point when he first said it. I was just like, once he said it, it was like, you can have speculations, but once the person tells you, it's like, okay, right then and there, you're confronted. What are you gonna do next? How are you gonna handle it? And at first, I was angry because I was just like, what? Like, why? I was like, why are you even telling me this? I don't even want to have to deal with this right now. Like, now that you're saying it out loud, it's like, now I'm gonna have to deal with it. And I just felt, you know, I was upset. I was really upset. And I just was like, well, how do you even know? Like, that is a choice. Like, you know, why are you choosing that for yourself? You know, it's gonna be really hard for you. Why would you want to go that route? You know, and I was like blaming him, you know, for feeling that way and for saying it. And so when I look back on it, we had conversations later on, and I ended up apologizing to him for even, you know, telling him that, because I was just like, well, however you feel about it, it's really not my place to say anything like that to you about it. Like, you know, it was already really hard for you to even come to us and talk to us about it. But I do apologize for the way that it made you feel. And I do want you to know that regardless of whatever, we still love you. You know, my husband was just like, because my husband, when he first said it, he was kind of just like, that's not true. Like, no, you're not. Like, don't say that. Like, that, you know, we got to go to church. You know, black people always want to take you to church. But I mean, we have been in church every Sunday, you know, so it was just like, he was just like, that is just not, you know, that is not who you are. You know, you don't have to accept that for yourself. And, you know, and so we didn't realize how harmful that was to even approach him like that. At that point, it was more so he just needed us to listen and to hear his point of view rather than trying to change his mind because it made us feel uncomfortable. So that was like the initial thought and the initial thing. So we came back, we talked about it more. And from that point, I think that he kind of clammed up about it. It was kind of just like, okay, maybe I shouldn't have said anything. From his point of view, he was probably thinking, like, I shouldn't have said anything. We talked about it a few months later. And, you know, my position with it was more so just like, okay, if that's how you feel, that's fine. It doesn't go with my faith. I don't believe that, you know, I believe that it is a choice, and that's how I feel about it, but it's subjective, you know. So I'm not in your body. And at that point, I was still kind of just like, you know, well, it's just you're choosing that, you're choosing that. And we couldn't come to a conclusion. And at that point, it was like I was telling my husband, I was like, you know what, at the end of the day, I had to do a lot of prayer and just like my own just dealing with it and saying, you know what, at the end of the day, like, I am not in your body. And I had to tell him that I'm not in your body. I don't know how you feel. There's no reason for me to tell you the way that you're feeling. I should not be telling you how you feel. I should have compassion and empathy for the way that you're feeling, because I know that it's definitely you're having a hard time. So I apologize for having that, you know, putting that on you when that's not how you feel about yourself. Like, 100%. Still love you. We're just gonna have to agree to disagree. And so that, I think, was the hardest for him over the years. That has been the hardest for him, because even though we constantly tell him, like, we love you no matter what, I think that the part that he couldn't take was the fact that we wouldn't condone it. It was almost like he wanted our permission. He wanted our permission for us to say that it was okay and this was something that we agreed with and that we were 100% on board. And I told him, you know, I wish I could do that. Like, if I could do that and make you feel better, and, you know, and fix this problem that we're having between each other, I would. But if I did that, I would not be being true to myself and I would not be being true to you. You know, I can't give you my permission. The only thing I can do is love you unconditionally, regardless whether we agree or we don't agree. And he still did not want to take that as an answer. It was still kind of just like he was very resentful about us not giving him permission. And I would tell him, and so that was kind of like the ongoing argument and fight that we had for the past few years. It's been ongoing, and it's like a loving relationship, but at the same time, it's like resentful. Loving and resentful. Loving, like he knows that we love him, but he was at the same time, he was resentful. And I was trying to explain it to him, like, you know, no matter what people think, you have to be okay with it. You're not going to get everyone on board. Like, you have to know that. Whenever you're doing something that is against what the population thinks, you know that you're in for a fight. You know that at the end of the day, you have to be able to sleep at night and feel at peace with yourself. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what your dad thinks. It doesn't matter what anyone thinks. You have to be accepting of who you are. Love yourself no matter what, because we love you no matter what. But it's not fair for you to feel that we have to agree with you to make you feel loved, because agreement does not mean that we love you. That is not the same thing. It's like, so I think that he has such a hard time with that. And so when he told us that he wanted to go to the military, well, it was something that we already knew because I homeschooled him for those 2 years. I know I've talked about it previously on other podcasts. We homeschooled him for 2 years because he was just having a lot of issues at school. And he did really good with homeschool. He got ahead. And then he wanted to go to ROTC. So he was doing the ROTC program in high school. He did really good at that. And then it was an Air Force ROTC initially that he was interested in. But then the more he did his research, he realized that, you know, they didn't have a lot of jobs. And so he was approached by a Marine that came to the school to recruit. And he came to the house and he's like, hey, you know, I know your son is an ROTC. I would like to talk to him. And I was just like, well, no, he's not interested in being a Marine, you know, whatever. So, fast forward, I guess they had been talking to him at the school and he was getting more interested in the Marines. So I started to notice he would talk more about the Marines. I would see him looking up online different things about the Marines. And so, from a parent's point of view, I already did not want him to go to the Marines. I wanted him to go to college. I already felt that the Marines, any type of military, it's scary to me because I'm thinking, you know, you're going to the war, you know, and especially with the transition, everything was going on. Trump was going into office, and you know, it was so many things that was happening in the political, you know, Obama was leaving office, and so it was like all these changes were being made when he was going to be going into the military. So I was just thinking, if you're going to the Marines, you're going to war. And so I did not want him to go to war. That was my whole thing. I don't want you to go to the Marines. I don't want you to go to war. I don't want you to go to the military. I want you to go to college, because I felt like if he went to college, it would give him more time to think about what he wanted to do. And maybe he would possibly change his mind about going to the military altogether once he got the college experience. Well, that wasn't what he wanted. You know, he really wanted to experience the military from boot camp. He wanted to go from the beginning to the end because he felt like if he was going to be a leader, he wanted them to be able to respect him, that he went through all the same things that they went through, and that, you know, he deserved to be an officer because he didn't just go to school, but he actually went through the entire process. And so when he told me that way, I was like, you know what? Okay, I'm gonna support you. I respect it. But the whole time, I was always very nervous about him going. Because, for one, he was telling us that he was bisexual, and I already know the stigma that's attached to it, and I felt afraid for him because even though he was confident, because even though we didn't agree with him, you know, we didn't really talk about it. I think that because the conversation would get so heated, and as far as like, it was almost like a political debate. And so or religion debate, where it was like, okay, this is something that is subjective. It's something that neither one of us can prove to the other. So it's better to just not even talk about it or try to convince each other. Let's just agree to disagree. So I felt that I knew how other people would view him. And because he is very confident and he isn't afraid to speak his mind, I was afraid for him because I'm like, okay, they're already, you know, going through boot camp is already like a hellacious experience. On top of that, I felt like they were going to use that for an excuse. And I know that even though that I don't understand it, even though I don't understand what's going on, I don't have any hatred for anybody because of it. I have plenty of friends that are from the LGBT community that I love, that we hang out. You know, I have absolutely no hate in my heart. You know, like I said, I have family, I have friends, you know, that are from the LGBT community, but they're my friends and we are friends because of various reasons. So whatever your sexual orientation is, it 100% does not bother me. Like, it doesn't have anything to do with me. The only person that I would have an issue with being part of the LGBT community, LGBTQ community, would be my husband, for obvious reasons. But anybody outside of my husband, I have absolutely no problem with the way that they want to live their life. That is, has nothing to do with me. That is between you and the Lord, me and the Lord. It has nothing to do with me. I feel like people should have the right to do whatever they want to do with their bodies, with their sexuality, whatever. It's your choice. God gives us choice. So if God gives us choice, then who am I to not give a person a choice or give them a hard time about it? So, you know, I totally don't feel any type of hatred, but I know how severely people are hated because of it. And it made me really afraid for my son. And so that was like the number one reason why I did not want him to go to the military. I didn't want it because I felt like that was going to happen. And I felt like they would try to put him on the front line because they hated his sexuality. Because, you know, when you're in the military, they want you to submit. They want you to cow down. They want you to bow down. And he just does not have that bow down type of a personality, you know, especially if he feels like somebody is coming for him in a negative way. You know, he would want to defend himself, and him not being able to defend himself, I felt like it was going to really close him up and turn him into somebody that he's not, which he's an extrovert. And I felt like I didn't want it to turn him into an introvert and make him upset. So long story short, he ended up going to the military, and he had, if you listen to his podcast that he was doing, you know, they isolated him, they mistreated him, they hazed him. He was constantly bullied because of it. They would call him all kind of derogatory names. They would talk about him behind his back. Even when he came into a leadership position, they dehumanized him, and to the point where he wanted to commit suicide. And they actually had him on suicide watch because he was in such a depression. And so from my view of what I saw, after he graduated, he went straight to boot camp. When he got out of boot camp, I did notice when he came out of boot camp, he was a little wound up. He was still kind of himself, like he was cracking jokes, and we were talking about, because I went to his graduation and we came back home together, and he had like a little break. I think they get like a week or two off, and he came home to California with us. And so we were laughing, talking. He was telling us about his experience in boot camp, and he kind of made a joke out of it where it was just like, okay, you know, I had already done the delayed entry program where they kind of prepare you for boot camp. And, you know, he was used to the PT. He was used to like the, you know, all the different little accolades that come with it. So he said that part of it was pretty easy. And so he wasn't really tripping about it. He was just like, you know, it was cool, but he was a little wound up. He just seemed like he wanted to do a good job. Like, he didn't want to revert back into being a civilian. So he wanted to make sure that he stayed a Marine the whole time, even when he was, you know, home on vacation. And so I wasn't really surprised because another mom had already warned me, like, okay, this is kind of what goes on. Like, when they get back from boot camp, they're a little wound up. It's hard for them to relax because they're, you know, they've been through this process. So that was fine. So he left. He went back to Virginia. And I would talk to him on the phone pretty often. And he seemed fine. And then he got deployed. He went to Korea, and I would talk to him pretty often. And he seemed really bored in Korea. Mostly, it was mostly like boredom. Like, he would call us a lot. We would talk to him a lot. And then when he got out, when he came back from deployment, he came back to California. Now, that time that he came back on deployment, he was like a totally different person. Like, not in a negative way, though. It was like he matured times 20. Like, he totally turned into a man where he was like responsible. He was, paying all of his little bills that he had and had all his little stuff organized. And he was, he booked his whole trip and made all his plans. And at that point, he was like 19. He's like 19 at that point. So he like booked all his plans. I mean, he just held himself like a man. Like, he was so confident. He just seemed like he had, he had moved up in rank. Like, I could tell that he had moved up in rank and he felt really good about it. His confidence, everything was just really good. And so during that time, I felt like was one of his best visits. Was he really felt good about where he was and what he was doing. He was still, pretty excited about the military, and he expected it to be hard, so it was kind of just like it wasn't anything unexpected yet. The following time that he came, which was a year ago, I noticed that he was starting to get more snappy and more upset, and I talked to him less. And so during that time, I definitely wanted to ask him more questions about like his experience, and he would be very short, like, oh, a lot of this stuff is confidential, we can't talk about it, but everything is okay. We're going on deployment again, so I'm going to be going to Cuba, and we'll figure out, when I'll be coming back, probably another 6 months. I'll come back to visit. But I was thinking that maybe next time, I'm not going to come home to visit. Maybe you guys can come visit me, or we can plan somewhere else to be during the vacation or whatever, because I'm not really sure like how long I'm going to be gone. So I'm like, okay, that's fine. But when he first got to Cuba, I felt like he was okay with it. He was like, oh yeah, this is good. Everything's been going pretty good. It's hot here, this little stuff. But then he was going to be a part of like a football team and all these different things. But then all of a sudden, I was hearing from him a little bit less, and the conversations were getting very dry, where it was like, everything's good. Well, I don't know what the plans are. I'm not really sure. It was like one, two answers. I would try to change the subject into something to talk about, like a show that we both like, or, and it was just dry. And so at that point, I just started praying. I was just like, I don't know what's going on with him. I'm hoping that, he's okay and that, everything is going good. But my mind was just like, I just wasn't settled. And so when he called me and I talked to him about, when I talked to him, he was like, well, yeah, I asked him if he would come, if he was going to be home for Christmas, because we were going to plan a trip to Big Bear and I wanted him to come. And then he had called me back and he's like, oh, I'm not sure if I'm going to be back. I'm not really sure what my plans are going to be now, because right now they have me on suicide watch. And I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, they have me. So he didn't go into detail with, he's like, I really can't talk about it right now because I'm in my room with like one of the, he had to be watched like 24 hours a day. Like, he could never be by himself. So he was like, it was like a Saturday. He was like, so by Monday, they're going to make a decision on what's going to be next, da, da, da. So at that point, I'm just like sending him like message after message after message, Bible scriptures. I'm sending him, I'm talking to him, sending him text messages because he could still text. And I was just like, be encouraged. I don't know what's going on out there, but the military is not the end of the world. Like, there are other careers out there. Don't feel like this is it for you, because I know my son, and I know that his political career is really important to him. And I know that he felt like him going to the military was like a replacement from going to college, and it would be almost like him getting kicked out of college without a second chance. Like, once you can't graduate from college, that's it, you're done. And so I felt that anxiety in him, worrying and whatever. I felt like the military was like brainwashing him into believing that it was the military or nothing. Like, if you're not in the military, then you're nothing. And so I felt like that's what he was dealing with. And even in some of the comments he was making, it was that. So I was in deep prayer during that time, because I knew with everything else that's going on with him, I knew that our relationship wasn't really that solid because he still had a lot of resentment. And whenever people are going through some type of depression, they pull from everything negative. So even if you do have a good part of a relationship, if it's not really that solid, they're only going to pull out what's negative or whatever part of it that he couldn't change. And so his interpretation of it was that we hated him because of that. And not so much just hated him, but just we didn't like that about him. And so since he couldn't change that about himself, it was like we were never going to really be able to love him. And that was his perception of it. Even though we didn't feel that way, that's the way that he felt. And so that's why I wanted to talk about it, talk about this topic, because it is so important for parents to accept their kids, love their kids, and continue to stay in contact with their kids whenever they're going through something like that. Because if I had it to do all over again, I definitely would have had more conversations with him about it. I feel like because we kind of, it made us uncomfortable to talk about, we talked around it. And even though we would still eat dinner together, whatever, we would have, conversation together, it was an elephant in the room, more so for him than for us, because we had already resolved it. But for what with your children, it's like when they feel like they're not accepted in any kind of way from their parents, it can make them feel res built up resentment, and it's unresolved because he couldn't accept how we felt about it because he could not see it being that we could love him and not agree. He just couldn't see it at that point. And so I definitely want to talk to parents and send the message out to parents that if you need to get counseling or, whatever you have to do to hold that relationship, I 100% would say to do it. Because if I had it to do all over again, I think that we should have went to counseling during that time. And I didn't suggest it because I felt like he already really wasn't that receptive to counseling anyway. And I felt like he was really too young. And I was very dismissive about it, where it was kind of just like, oh, you're just going through a change. Like, it's just a phase type of thing. Like, I didn't take it serious in a way where I felt like it could lead to what it led to. So I definitely want to give like a warning to parents that definitely is something to take serious because it's something that they're taking serious. And that's in whatever it is. If I had it to do all over again, I definitely would have. We would have definitely went to family counseling to be able to talk about it. And not so much to change my mind or to change his mind, but just so that the relationship wouldn't have been so conflicted. Like I feel like he felt it, and I feel like it may have been resentment on both sides, because even I felt a little resentment about how he wouldn't take my love, almost like he wouldn't accept my apologies, or he wouldn't accept, and it was just like, dude, I cannot be going toe to toe with you. Like every time, this can't be the basis of our relationship. I'm not going to be going toe to toe with you every time this subject comes up because you're not changing my mind, And so, and I want parents to feel encouraged too. And I also want, if you're a son or a daughter or someone that's in the LGBT community, I want you guys to be more just not just accepting of your parents, but just understanding of people that don't understand. Like, I feel like I should be able to say, you know what, this is something that I don't understand. And so it's not that I'm saying that you're lying and that it is a choice. I'm not telling you that. I'm saying that it's something that if you're saying that it's not a choice for you, I'm saying that it's something that I don't understand. That's it. Can I love someone that I don't understand? Absolutely. Because it is a loyalty. I am loyal. So it doesn't matter what you think. Whatever my child thinks, I'm still gonna love you regardless to whatever we agree to disagree on. we're gonna, it's still gonna be love. And so it took a very long time. And I think that even though this was a very traumatic experience for him, I think that it was still a very good experience for him because he grew a lot. He was able to see how much we had his back, even though, you know, we didn't see eye to eye on that situation. We still had his back. He still could come home, and he knew when he was going through that. I was like, I don't give a fuck what the situation is. As long as I have a place to sleep, you always have a place to sleep. As long as I have a roof over my head, you always have a roof over your head, period. I will never put my child out of my house because his sexuality, ever. I work with transitional age youth that are experiencing homelessness, and let me tell you, it leads to all kind of things that I would never want. I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. It leads them into sex trafficking, which is prostitution, and prostitution, because when you're trafficked, it's like you have a pimp and people are using you. And so, male prostitution, female prostitution, just being homeless, drugs. I mean, so many things, because they're literally, you're throwing them out into the streets. And so they're in survival mode, you know, and they're broken, they're hurting, they're, you know, feeling bad about themselves. And so I would never want my own child to feel that way because of me. Like, that's like the worst feeling in the world, is to know that I would put that type of feeling on to my child. So when he told his story yesterday on the podcast, I was dealing with all kind of emotions, because it's something that I knew was possible that could happen to him based just on his decision. And it's like, I would never want him to have held it in. I think that they were resentful for him because he didn't hold it in. It was like, how dare you tell everybody? Like, who do you think you are? Type of thing. And it's like, I raised him to have an opinion and to be self-accepting. And I definitely wanted him to be able to speak his mind and to have an opinion. I teach that to all of my kids. I want them to be able to say what's on their heart, ask questions, you know, even if we agree to disagree, you still should be able to say how you feel. You know, I wasn't angry with him because of his perception of how we felt about him or him doing a podcast about it. I actually was really happy that he did that, because I feel like that was like the best therapy that he could have got given himself, was to be able to tell his story and to be able to express himself. So I just wanted to, you know, send this message. I didn't, you know, do any a lot of notes, but I did, you know, just want to talk more about it and just give a couple of statistics, just so that you know how common this is, that mental illness is very common, because he did go through the anxiety and the depression. Now, he was diagnosed. I can't remember what he said his diagnosis was, but it was kind of like a diagnosis where when he's in the environment of something that would make him anxious, he's anxious. And when he's out of it, then he's not anxious. So it was like they just put that on him just so that they can have some paperwork to fill out. So he's no longer dealing with the suicide portion of the depression. Like, he's not dealing with that anymore. But he is still recovering. He's still healing. He's still working through things. Our relationship is 100 times better. He's finally like accepting our love and accepting, you know, himself and feeling more confident about it. Because the reason why I hadn't brought it up is because, or talked about this particular subject on the podcast, was because I had asked him a while ago and he didn't respond. And then when I just asked him again, I said, okay, well, so now is it cool for me to do a topic? I just want to talk to parents about, you know, accepting their kids the way that they are, no matter what, and being supportive, and, you know, giving a little background of our story. Is that okay? And he's like, yeah, that's fine. I don't mind. Because you have to know that when you are in the situation with your children and the relationship is so fragile and they're so fragile, you really have to be careful on how you trigger them. And so I did not want to do anything or talk about anything that would trigger him in any kind of way, or I felt like our relationship was so fragile. I didn't want him to hear this or, be bombarded with questions or, if he didn't, if he wasn't in the place to talk about it right then. Because even though he brought it up a couple years ago on his own, I didn't know where his mindset was because, like I said, we did not talk about it very often. It came up every once in a while. It was like something that we all knew, but something that we didn't really talk about. And so I didn't really know where he was at with it. And so I didn't want to trigger him in any kind of way. I just wanted to kind of make sure that he was good, but I wanted him to know that we just supported him anyway, And so I said all that to say that one in five adults have some type of mental disorder, mental illness. In 2013, they did a nationwide poll in the United States, and the numbers are super high. I mean, it's 18.5% of people over 18 are dealing with some type of mental illness. The most common are depression and anxiety. So if you're in a room right now and there are five people in there, at least one person out of the five is dealing with some type of mental health. So I do want to take the stigma off because I think that we all deal with some level of anxiety. We're all dealing with some, and whether we're managing it well or not, I think that, if you feel like you need to talk to a therapist or if you need a life coach or if you need, any type of support, or if even you need to talk about whether you may not even know that, you're dealing with any type of anxiety. But I definitely think that going to counseling, even if it's just by yourself, I would su strongly suggest that you go, because it would definitely, at least you would have to be able to get it off your chest. Because I think that him, even just him going to counseling, made him feel a lot better. And so, and I did ask him, I'm like, well, do you think that we should all go to counseling? Did you want that? And he was like, no, I think that now I'm at a place where I've accepted it. And I think that, I know that you guys love me, and I'm glad that I went through that process because now I feel more liberated and I can talk about it easier. And now that we're all talking about it, it's therapeutic enough, So definitely have that conversation. I know it's a tough conversation. I've been there. I know. And, we love him and we still agree to disagree. So it's all good in the hood. Being a mom is not easy. Being a parent is not easy. And it's just part of life, and the more years go by, the more society, everywhere you look, there's inclusion. So, you have to have the conversation. You have to be open to it. You have to, not be closed-minded. You have to be open-minded and love your kids and love yourself and, take care of your family. So I don't want to go on and on about it today, but just wanted to send out that positive message, and I'm really happy. And I told my son, I thanked him too for coming out on the podcast yesterday and talking about his experience with the military and, his sexuality and all that. I told him I was happy because it also freed us up because now we can talk about it more and we can help more people that are going through the same thing. So thank you guys for listening. Have a safe holiday this weekend, and you guys will hear from me again next week. Just talk to you soon. Bye.